48 dwelling units. So the product mix here is fourplex style buildings on map 85 above. We're looking at the same four to sixplex style buildings. So the multifamily, more dense developments on these two pieces. For 87, map 5987, we're creating 61 lots, four lettered lots for streets. There's a small park component to this one. It's about an acre and a half. It's just over 9 acres. And the product mix here is more the single family detached dwelling units. For map 88, we're looking at creating 58 lots, two lettered lots for streets. This is roughly 8.8 acres. And we're looking at single family detached with an estimation of about 55 units. Map 59, similar style here. We're creating 78 lots, three lettered lots. This one's roughly 13.8 acres. And again, we're looking at about 78 units here with single family detached product mix. Map 5990, we're looking at 68 lots, two lettered lots for streets. This is roughly 6.5 acres and, 6.3 acres, I'm sorry. And we're looking at a single family detached product mix here as well. 91, we're creating four large lots, four lettered lots for streets. We're looking here for the fourplex, six-pack style multifamily condo style units here on roughly 1.8 acres, estimating about 16 dwelling units on this piece we're seeing here. And for map 92, we're looking at one large lot, one lettered lot for streets, fourplex style buildings. This is roughly an acre, 1.8 acres. And again, estimating, this is the one large lot, one lettered lot, 1.8 acres, 16 dwelling units. So the street names are also shown on the maps here. There's 21 names in total. 10 are included on the approved city list. 11 shown at the bottom are being requested as part of the approval. Council takes action on the street names, so we're showing them here for you to take a look at and discuss tonight. So as far as the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, project was approved. The environmental impact report was certified for this project back in 2015. The maps are in substantial conformance to the master map that was approved. It is in conformance with the city subdivision regulations and the specific plan regulations, so there's no further environmental review that needs to occur with this action tonight. So staff's recommending that the commission select alternative one, adopting resolution 3755, recommending that the city council approve project number 2006 CDP02 for vesting tentative track maps numbers 5985 through 5992 with the proposed street names, allowing the creation of 274 residential lots, 24 lettered lots for streets, parks, and paseos, and approve the preliminary landscape plans for the common areas. And that concludes staff's presentation. Again, the applicant is here. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Commissioners, any questions of staff at this time? None here. So no questions of staff. We'll go right to speaker. Mr. Talmadge, you're going to be up first? No?
I think
you just here for questions. I'm just going to give you the opportunity.
Would you like to hear from the applicant
Mr. Talmadge is here for technical questions.
Okay, and Mr. Hensley is?
Ms. Hensley. Kinsey.
Same. I guess everyone knows a lot about this project, huh?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe Mr. Penrod, would you like to?
I'm going to wait. As you see, I knew he was eager.
Come on up.
Chairman, commissioners, we're and staff, we've worked with very closely on this whole process. We're here tonight finally for our first track map on the project, and it is about time. You know, this has been a long time coming. Started in 2004. So 12 years later, we're finally ready to get underway and get this thing started. We just some of the brief highlights of the project. The project in the first phase is 632 lots. Yeah, 632 units, not lots, 632 units. 100 of them is market rate apartments. So that will go on one of the large lots. We have condos that are part of this, so that's one reason why you end up with more units than what is on the count of the lots. The school is also included in the first phase of this, so we will be building, hopefully, if Prop 51, please vote for Prop 51. That will be a K through 8 school on the site, and we anticipate that opening in the fall of 2019. So it'll be well on its way under construction during this time period, in advance of when all the students will really be in there. This is really divided into two phase ones. It's phase 1A and 1B. So some of the stuff that you see here, it's all phase one, but we're gonna do the grading and everything according to the way that it works out with the two subsequent phase later. We are looking at doing part of the park will be part of the this. We're still working with the city on the what will go in the park, and we've had a lot of very good activity from the residents and input, and all the public outreach we did along with. But city staff did a really great job in getting that all put together and meeting with the public on a number of occasions. Don't have the answers yet about what is going to happen. That'll be before the recreational commission, and then on to city council. I don't think you guys have to weigh in on that, but as citizens, you certainly can. We are very happy to work with the staff and working with everybody. It's been really a pleasure. We've had a lot of hard work to do. There's a lot of things that have changed over the years, and you're looking at a project that is really, this actually, we won an award this year on this project from the Tri-County Planning Association. So we were in competition with a number of other projects, and this project was awarded for its design and its creativity and the other stuff. And we have some really good things we're working on also on the energy and on green, making a more green project, and so we're just in the beginning stages of that. We will end up having somewhere between about, in the first phase, about 4 to 5 different builders with a broad spectrum of type of homes. So there'll be the homes in the lower, smaller sizes, but inexpensively priced so that they can get first home buyers or people who want to downsize, up to some larger single family homes and some. So we've got a big range of product that'll be built with 4 or 5 different builders. So all of them will look good. All of them will be really there, and that all the plans will come back to you guys for the actual homes, so that you guys get to see them, review them, and approve what they're going to look like. This is just the infrastructure lotting right now. So that's still more to come. A lot more of these kind of meetings for sure to come. If you have any other questions, as I said, we have Tim Jones from Lewis is here, and our civil engineers. Okay.
None here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, sir. Yes, Anna.
There's two little items I'd like to read into the record. Just to clarify, there's a condition that was added late last week, and I wanted to ensure that it got into your discussion if you have one. It's an additional condition number 60 that emulated from Public Works. It says track 5989, no grading shall be allowed within the existing Federal Emergency Management Agency FEMA A zone prior to an approved conditional letter of map revision known as CLOMAR. Applicants okay with that one. I also need it to go back into condition number 19C and have the C portion of that stricken, as we are learning that the fire station and police substation will no longer be in East Area 1, but it's going to be moved outside of that area. And I just wanted to get this set of conditions as accurate as possible. And if you are okay with that when you make your motion, I'd appreciate it.
Good. All right. Commissioners, any questions of staff or applicant, or do I hear a motion?
I'll make a couple comments, and then I'll be happy to make a motion. This has been a long time coming. I think staff and consultants are to be commended for their due diligence and hard work. As someone that's been in this community most of my life, and that's a long, long time, this is the first really major expansion of our city that I can ever remember. And it's very, very exciting. I know that one of the comments that previously came up before this commission and in some of the correspondence, I believe, concerned some of the historical aspects of the property, including the date palms and the well house and others. And I don't think we're really, this is not in part of that tonight, but those we've been assured will be indeed preserved. So with that, I would like to make a motion that we adopt Resolution 3755, recommending to the City Council approval of project number 26-CDP-02 for vesting tentative tract map numbers 5985 to 5992, allowing the creation of 274 residential lots and 24 lettered lots for streets, parks, Paseos, approval of preliminary landscape plans for the common area, and approved the proposed street names subject to the conditions of approval.
I'll second that motion.
And just for clarification, the conditions of approval include those that were read by staff, the addition of 60 and the deletion of 19C.
I make that motion that it include the information presented by our planning director.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Was there a second?
Ike was the second?
I second.
Yes. Thank you.
He clarified it.
All right. We'll move on. Next item up, 16MM03 Sparkle Ranch.
We'll be right with you. We need about a 1 minute.
Okay. One minute to change over.
Do you mind?
All right.
Just giving us
we'll be here.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy.
Can we get a score?
A score?
Turn your phone back on. No.
Yeah.
I try to set an example of the commissioner.
Okay.
The
so
chairman.
I think we've, okay, rooms perfect. Okay. Go right ahead.
Okay. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. The following is a hearing on the request of Thai Santa Paula 12 Acres LLC to consider case number 16MM03. Application was filed on August 25th of this year, and we're also going to determine that the project is exempt from CEQA. As we go through, if you've not seen this aerially, this is the 11.7 acre site. It exists essentially the same as today, maybe a little less green. This was taken back in 2010, but it is still undeveloped, and the surrounding area remains the same. The key features are Forest Drive and Cliff Drive, and the access would be an extension of Cliff coming through. The aerial view with the zoning overlay has the rural area with the 20, that's the 20,000 square foot minimum lot size, and you can see it how it relates to the existing oaks and some of it kind of increasing the density as you move. Sure. It's off. All right. And as it approaches the Santa Paula Creek, and this does abut the city limits. This is the 20-lot subdivision that was approved in 2005, 19 of which are residential. If you were to visit that site, which many people have, there's trails all over there, dog poop everywhere. You'll see the remnants of a dying orchard, some oak trees coming into play, some existing, some are new. And then this is the access road that the flood control district maintains as a buffer along that fence line there before you get to the creek. So the property doesn't go right to the creek, but it goes right to that access road there. Nothing really has changed. Again, we're just doing the time extension, and that's all detailed in this chart here. It's been extended for 9 years past the original 2-year one. It's received 2 1-year time extensions of the maximum permissible 5 1-year time extensions. So in theory, we could go, if we pass today, 2 more additional years, and then it would have utilized, hypothetically, all of its possible time extensions. Like all the time extension projects before you, although it qualifies as a project under CEQA, it's merely a time extension for permitting. So the category of 15301 qualifies for the CEQA exemption. The surrounding area is static. The Oaks neighborhood, it still meets all of the development code standards and general plan, which were in effect at the time. And any future development, just like you heard for the East Area 1 project, would be required to come forward because it is a planned development overlay for any future permits for construction. So in recommendation, in findings, I recommend that you make the findings to approve this project, as was the attachment A in your staff report, that also that it is exempt from CEQA under 15301. And then we just approve the project, and then as per the staff report and any revisions here. And it is important to note that as a time extension, we are not allowed to add any new conditions. Your options are limited to the 1 year, sometime less than 1 year, or 0 years, that is, to deny. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, have any questions of staff regarding this extension?
I actually have a
certainly
a question, and maybe for you, maybe for the applicant. Actually, this project is—it's an old project. As you went through the timeline, there, it's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, what is the purpose of 1 more year? Are we going to make a final investment decision within this next year? Or are we just kicking the can down the road to come back next year and ask for another 1 year extension? Or really, what is the projected outcome here? Is the applicant going to go forward and build, or what are we doing?
Well, that's not our purview as the planning department. We reviewed this project back when it came through in 2004, went forward in 2005, received approval, and they meet all the requirements to do the time extension. They have the option to keep going, but the applicant, we have some representatives from the developer, and although Mr. Nick Nye is the formal agent, he did send an email today alerting that these folks would be able to speak on his behalf, and they can speak more to that. But the planning department, we just, again, are allowed to ask for time extensions, and they meet the qualifications, so we do recommend approval. You
guys? Yeah, I'd like to hear from the developer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, thank you for having me. Appreciate your consideration. To answer your question, Mr. Chairman.
State your name.
I'm Jordan. I'm representing the owner. We're in partnership with the owner to develop the project. We've been involved in the project from the beginning. It's getting the entitlements, and then only until recently we've really made an agreement with the owner to go ahead and move forward with the development. So yes, this is the last extension that we plan on having. The reason for the delay is because of the recession. In 2005, when the project was approved, we had full intention to develop it and to move forward with the permits and build on the property. At the time, it was the yield of the properties, and just so you know, also, it was originally the zoning was for 10,000 square feet. And working with the city, we agreed to double that size per lot to 20,000 square feet per lot. So want to provide a good homes for the residents to match what's existing. But unfortunately, with the recession, we were unable to, with the land price at the time, unable to develop on the property. Now it's just at that time, we're ready to develop on it. We're moving very quickly. We've made an agreement with the owner, and we're talking with architects and consultants currently to move. And we actually have a projection and a plan to pull permits as early as February. Okay. I'm here for any other questions.
Commissioners, any other questions?
For staff, does this extension involve any additional fee to the city?
The application, commissioners, the application for a MAP extension does include fees paid by the applicant to the city to cover staff processing time.
So with each extension, they pay an additional fee?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have no more questions, okay. Further questions for you right now.
Okay. Appreciate your consideration. Thank you for your time.
We do have two speakers. First will be Joy Cummings, if you'd like to come up and state your name and address and speak into the microphone there. Appreciate it.
Okay. My name is Joy Cummings. I live at 1147 Grantline Street. And it's nice to be here. I would just like to address my concerns regarding this property. We had just moved to Santa Paula when it was first approved, so I really wasn't involved in any of that planning process. Now I'm more aware of the geology of this area, and so I'd just like to voice my concerns. This property is composed of mostly rock, which must be removed and replaced with compactable soil before any building can be done. And judging from other projects in this area, it would take months and hundreds of truckloads to remove the rock and more months of hauling in appropriate soil, then weeks of compacting. This means months of noise pollution and thousands of tons of rock being hauled out on our already potholed city streets. I had heard the county had given permission to use the road along the creek, but I cannot imagine that narrow, unpaved road being able to take that kind of use. Our next door neighbor recently dug the rock out of just a very small area of his property. It was, I don't know how many truckloads, dozens and dozens of truckloads of rock he hauled out, and dozens of truckloads of dirt he brought in. And he still has a veritable wall higher than my head of rock left over. This area is very difficult to build on. Another concern I have is that there's only one ingress and egress. 19 homes with an average of 3 people per home equals 57 people. If they made 3 car trips a day, that would be 171 trips one way and 342 round trips. I'm wondering if one entrance and our narrow oak streets can accommodate that kind of traffic. I'm also wondering what happens in an emergency. Will all those people be able to evacuate efficiently? I don't believe that it is wise for a housing project to ever be designed with only one means of entering and exiting. Also, because of all the rock removal and the replacement of soil, building the homes in this property will be very expensive. The houses will have to sell at a very high price for the developer to make a profit. I have heard that the developer of the 7 homes at the end of Grantline said that if he had realized the logistics and expense of removing all the rock and compacting new soil, he never would have started that project. I think this land could be used for better purposes. Half of the old orchard on the property has died and is being replaced with native plants. It's amazingly beautiful. This could be a showplace nature park for all the community to enjoy, and there are land trusts who can help finance such a use. So to sum this up, I'd just like you to consider what's best for the community. This project will not provide the affordable housing the community needs. It will increase traffic on inadequate streets. It is not designed for proper emergency evacuation. It will cause untold damage to our streets and impact our quiet neighborhood. And it could be used for something the community really needs, a natural area to exercise and relieve the stress of daily living. I urgently request you do not extend this project permit and consider helping to establish a land conservancy to preserve this very special area. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cummings. Next speaker, Rick Barringer.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners and staff. I'm Rick Barringer, and I live at 1233 Maple Street. And I'm involved financially with a property at 1334 Forest Drive also, my parents' former residence. unfortunately, I think I'm here, it's not gonna happen because you can't put conditions on the project, but I didn't realize that. My concern, if I could have just a minute, is traffic. I'm worried about Ojai Road and the pedestrian traffic within the Oaks, and what we've done recently by the Hardison Project and by Limonera with a bridge coming across and KOA campground, things like this. We've impacted our streets, and I don't see anybody doing a traffic study to tell us that it's going to get any better, and I realize there's no money. But my point tonight was I am concerned about pedestrian traffic to the school, the new school farm, and the traffic vehicles. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Barringer. Commissioners, any further questions?
I have a question. The question would be for staff. Both the speakers from the public brought up some interesting points. Probably need to do some research to determine, the exact validity of what they're saying. But the question I have is, assuming this time extension is approved, will this appear before the Planning Commission and/or the City Council prior to the actual start of construction, or is that already approved in the existing actions that occurred previous to this?
Well, as the entire area is within a planned development overlay, and additionally there are numerous conditions, I think there's 68, 69, 70, and 78, do call out that before construction, the applicant must apply for a planned development permit, which involves both staff review and then would come before the council. This is the same procedure that was just demonstrated with the East Area 1 that the gentleman mentioned, Mr. Penrod, that before those houses will come be built, they will come before the Planning Commission for approval. Additionally, there's conditions in there that state that the homes should have a custom build look, and so that there should be at least 7 different styles of homes for the 19 different lots proposed to provide some sort of architectural variety. Again, the sizing of the lots allows different configurations and whatnot. So there's a consideration, as the other gentleman stated, to represent not only the character of the Oaks with the style of homes, the lot size, as well as come back and make sure that it does meet the design requirements for the city and the Planning Commission.
So all that would come back through the
Correct.
Planning Commission?
And yeah, any construction would come before you for a planned development permit.
Okay, so any approval tonight would be strictly limited to a time extension?
Yes, 1 year, less than 1 year, or denied.
I'm just compelled to make a point that about the definition of the word project under CEQA. I'm looking at the slide right there. The project is exempt. For those who aren't maybe well-versed, that doesn't mean that the building of this area is exempt.
That's
only
correct,
means
yes.
The project as defined to the action we are taking tonight
Absolutely
is
correct,
exempt.
Yes.
I just wanted to put that on the record just
that's
for clarity.
Good clarification.
Any other commissioners? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 3754, approving a minor modification, 216-MM-03, to a previously approved project, 2004-TM-01, for a one-year time extension. A tentative track map 5308 that will expire November 7th, actually 2017, if it's approved tonight.
I'll second that motion.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Next item. CR02 Western Grid Development Battery Energy Storage System Concept Review.
Okay. Commissioners, before Dante proceeds with this, we just wanted to remind all of you and those in the audience that a Planning Commission level concept review is more of an informal discussion. There's no binding decisions made by the commissioners. We'll have a very brief presentation by staff, and then the applicant themselves will get up and provide you with some information. And it's more of an interactive dialogue. As I said originally, you're not held, and the applicant shouldn't hold you to any binding decisions made this evening. There's no vote taken. It's just an opportunity for a dialogue to occur. We do not send out like a resolution or anything afterwards. There will be some minutes that normally appear in our Planning Commission minutes, but I would suggest the applicant, if they want to take notes, they're free to do that. And then we look forward to whatever progress they want to make, if they want to further file a formal application to proceed further with this. So with that, I'll let Dante proceed with an overview of what the applicant's request is.
Thank you, Director. That was exactly the opening statement that there's non-committal today. This is merely an informational session. This is an interesting one. It also doesn't involve any pesky CEQA stuff, because we're just going to be looking at it as a concept. This is the lot. It's one rectangular lot. Over here, it's outlined in the cyan color. And the important thing to note is that it is immediately adjacent to the Southern California Edison substation right there. That's a transmission and distribution station for electrical power, which is critical to the siting of this particular property. If we go to the next slide, similar to what you'll see on every one of my presentations, which is the zoning overlay. The entire parcel and the entire surrounding area is zoned commercial light industrial. We have, I think Lane is to the north. They do pipes for ag and oil and whatnot. Down here, you have a variety of commercial light industrial. The Pepper Tree mobile home park somehow ended up over there. The police impound yard, a variety of single family homes, legal non-conforming, and then the railroad track right in here. This is North 13th Street. So the zoning, it is a good fit for commercial light industrial. This is an oblique view taken in January of this year. Most of these outlying rigs are gone. The only thing left is the warehouse and the former office. Again, that there's a small declivity here with some boulders, and then it abuts directly the Southern California Edison station. The applicant is here and will discuss in more detail the actual design of the proposal. Essentially, this is a summary of what it would look at full maximum potential build out. Again, this is just a concept, but you have a variety of batteries stored in units, cargo units, and a variety of other accessory equipment. And again, the applicant will go over in detail what those are. If you were to walk the site, you would see basically a big flat piece of earth with a couple buildings. This is proposed for demolition, is the concept. And then they would tie in to the electrical station back there, which, you know, is big and nothing much else is happening on there. Overall, this is a good fit. It meets exactly the utility distribution and transmission stations, which is allowed in commercial and light industrial zones. So the complies with both the general plan, land use designation, and the zoning district. So it dovetails quite nicely with that. So again, as the director stated, this is a concept review. We are not making any decisions tonight. It's not required. None will be allowed. And at this time, the best thing to do is present it, let the applicant present and provide a bunch of questions and answers, hopefully, to help further alleviate any concerns or further define the project. Left, right, and that's the laser up
top. That's way too complicated.
Okay.
Way too complicated for me.
I'm going to put that out of the way before I hurt myself with it. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and staff. My name is Pedro Nava. I live in Santa Barbara, but I have the pleasure of speaking to you tonight to just do the sort of 30,000 foot overview of this proposal. I want to thank you for your time, and I also want to thank staff for providing us with information, answering questions, and for being available to work with us so that we understand what it is that you're looking for and so that we can do the best that we can for Santa Paula. The project is a 5-megawatt battery energy storage module designed to be powered by the solar panels that would be installed over the particular modules. What I find encouraging about this proposal is that it's green energy, it's non-emissive, and it's not polluting. And best of all, it's not a peaker plant. We look at the opportunity to bring this battery storage to Santa Paula in a way that satisfies the aesthetics of your community and in a way that we can be proud of and that you can be proud of as well. Now, you may ask, you know, why Santa Paula? Why would Santa Paula be the site for a battery storage facility? And the short answer is because of Aliso Canyon. As you know, in October of 2015, there was the gas leak that was detected in Aliso Canyon. That facility was closed down until each and every well is tested. And quite frankly, it may not come online again, depending on how severe the shortcomings are. What that caused, the problems at Aliso Canyon, was the declaration of an emergency by the governor of California, because so much of Southern California's energy was reliant upon using the gas that was stored at that site. After the declaration of emergency in April, there was a Joint Agency Reliability Action Plan. This was CAISO and CPUC taking a look at if they can't trust and rely on the gas that should have been at Aliso, how are they going to satisfy the energy needs for the grid for Southern California? Part of that study was to identify areas of the state that were vulnerable in the future should there be brownout and blackouts and problems with grid reliability. What they discovered was that Santa Paula and the neighboring area was included in the locations that are more vulnerable to shortfalls in the grid system than other places in the state. And so what is important about the battery storage facility, these energy modules, is that in the event that there is a problem with the grid in Southern California, the energy from this facility can be drawn into the system to ensure that Santa Paula has the energy that it needs to continue operating without a problem. So, again, it's green energy, it's not polluting, it's non-emissive. We have had a chance to meet with your staff before to talk about some of the benefits of this proposal, answer questions as it relates to safety concerns from your fire department and from law enforcement, and we have the other members of the team that are here that can answer your questions about this proposal. And again, thank you for the opportunity to have a chance to speak with you.
Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. Appreciate the opportunity. My name is Chris Stabenfeld. I'm with ECOR Consulting, also working with Z Global on this project. I'm helping them with entitlement support. I wanted to talk a little bit more specifically about the project itself, the components. There's a video that we're hoping to be able to load up here and show that provides kind of a visual simulation of what the project's going to look like. But I wanted to briefly go over some of the components of the project. The project basically involves placing approximately 15 53-foot-long energy storage modules on site. They would be also converters that would allow for connection into the substation, which is obviously the main focus of the project. They're self-contained custom modules. They would include power conversion systems, battery nodules, and control panels. Recognizing that safety is a critical issue, these individual systems would have air conditioning, fire suppression built into them to protect against any kind of battery failure. There would be photovoltaic solar panels constructed over the nodules and specifically to charge the batteries. The batteries could be charged from the system, but they also could be completely charged by the actual photovoltaic system that would be included in the project. Also recognizing that visual concerns have been expressed by staff, Z Global is proposing to do full fencing of the property, use slats, landscaping, in conjunction working with staff to determine appropriate treatments for screening from the adjacent areas. And if we can load this and run it, it gives you a general feel for what it's gonna look like. Here we go. So this is coming up down 13th, the property's to the left. You can see the existing structure there on the right. They're gonna retain that one and use it as an office. This storage building is in the middle of the property would be removed. And this will just kind of start loading on some of the elements of the project, and you can see them. The whole site, substation to the left, back side of the property, internal driveway. There will be no racing. And now you start seeing the modules placed on site. And the converter system will come on as well. I think it'll show you that as well. I think right there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's gonna be 15 total at full build out, 5 megawatts. We have also had conversations with staff about containers, concerns of containers. Z Global wants to work with the city to determine appropriate enclosure, whether that be facades around the entire exterior. We'll work closely with staff to determine what's the most appropriate. As you can see, the panels now shown on top that would essentially charge the batteries. There's the full build out, and it's actually more containers there because those were smaller. So I think that was probably 20. There's only gonna be 15 total. 53 feet long each. And the PV, I think, would extend over the entire canopy. It would be basically cover the entire storage area. And it'll now show, I think we have some visual treatments too from the street frontage as well. So it will actually be a smaller footprint than shown on the simulation, but it gives you a sense of what the facility is going to look like. This is one of the containers, the modules, just showing what it looks like. Could use different color treatments. And as I pointed out, we can put a facade around the entire facility, look at other options as well, recognizing that you'd like to have these enclosed and not really have a bunch of containers just out in view. There's the facade example. And then we put in some fencing treatments just so you could see what it would look like as far as screening from the street. Different colors, facade. And then ultimately, I think it's gonna go to the fence here. There we go. With some landscaping first and then slats to further screen the site from the street. Safety will be important. There's gonna be security. It's gonna be a secured site. We're gonna have cameras on site. It'll be remotely controlled. There would be alarms. There'll be security lighting, obviously meeting with Santa Paula standards. We obviously wanna make this a secure operation. Z Global is looking at having this as a regional office to be able to use that building in the front to have some of their employees there occasionally. Operations are fairly minimal. Really very little traffic associated with this, just minimal coming and going for maintenance purposes primarily. As I indicated, a couple representatives from Z Global are here. engineering and their planning groups, so they have a lot more knowledge about the nitty-gritty on the project, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
How many of these types of facilities are you going to have in California or Southern California?
Matthew would probably be the best person to answer. You want to come up and answer that? I know there's one about to be open tomorrow. There's a ribbon cutting.
Where's that? Come on up to the...
That's an excellent question. My name is Matthew Nelson, and I'm the Director of Engineering and Construction for Z Global. And just so happens that tomorrow is a ribbon cutting of a system that we built similar to this, about six times bigger than this one, in El Centro, California, for IID, the utility company. And we've started it, we've commissioned it, it connects to the grid, and tomorrow will be its ribbon cutting. And there's probably three or four more in Southern California with battery storage. Lot smaller systems. But, you know, it's a technology that is relatively new, following up photovoltaics.
Any other questions? Okay. Commissioner Robinson.
This is advisory. We're not taking any action tonight.
You are correct. There's no action taken. It's more question and answer. Any thoughts?
Well, I have a lot of concerns, and since it's advisory, I will offer you some advice.
Thank you.
Santa Paula is very, very sensitive to becoming a site location for what everyone else doesn't want in their backyard, i.e. the Todd Road Jail, which we didn't want and we got, and now they're going to expand the Tolan landfill. And there was recently a whole lot of community angst about the possible peaker plant west of town. Now, I'm all for green energy and for doing things that reduce greenhouse gases and help the environment. My biggest concern about this, and I don't know if this is for staff or the applicant, but I would be very remiss to move forward on this. Have you had any community meetings? Have you had any opportunities to sit down with neighbors, the business community, the other businesses in that area to discuss what you're doing? I think it's critically important for something of this nature that it be very, very carefully vetted with the community. And I'm just speaking to give you some advice. One of the things I concern, I'm going to read from the project summary of the report, is pursuant to directions from the CPUC, SCE has required that the project be operational by December 31st, 2016. To reduce the potential for catastrophic energy curtailment due to the emergency shutdown of Aliso Canyon. That's 2 months away. How could that possibly be done?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a question for staff, or is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
You want this constructed and operational in 2 months?
Well, interesting enough that our company, Z Global, which we own that piece of property. There are some other opportunities with that property with battery storage in the future too. Mm-hmm. Not just December 31st, 2016, but on into 2017, 2018, all the way through 2035 with Southern California Edison. So there's other opportunities. So we realize
other opportunities other than Santa Paula.
No, we love Santa Paula.
We love Santa Paula.
That's what we're focused on. But there's other opportunities with other timelines, mm-hmm. further down the road, so that we have time to discuss with neighbors or yourselves or with planning?
Hey, let me ask you, Mr. Nava mentioned that the energy production from this facility would provide electricity for Santa Paula in the event the grid went down.
The way that the this project is designed is when the task force took a look at areas of state that were vulnerable and which are the ones that were likely to suffer a loss in the event that there were problems with the grid that affected Los Angeles. Santa Paula was included in the area that was vulnerable because there would be power drawn to other places in the state of California. The idea, in part, for this battery storage facility is that when there are problems other places in the grid, that the energy from this facility would feed into this substation, which then services Santa Paula. So Santa Paula, I'm sorry.
It would also service, say, Malibu or Oak Park or Thousand Oaks if their grid went down?
Well, they're connected in different ways. Part of what we want to make sure that we're able to do is generate the power here from the solar panels for these battery storage modules so that if there's a problem, it feeds into your substation. That substation then feeds into your community.
It feeds into the grid that serves everyone.
That's true.
That's correct. I'm only saying this advisory because people in Santa Paula are very sensitive about their community being used for the benefit of others.
Understood.
And you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so this is not being critical. You wanted some advice. I'm giving you some advice as someone that's been here for 70 years, or close to it, actually beyond it. But it's just a very, very sensitive issue. And this whole process needs a lot of community vetting before anything moves forward. And I'm asking staff, how could this be done in 2 months?
Chairman and members of the commission, I think staff has explained to the applicant that the date on this particular piece of information will probably not be met by the city. It requires a conditional use permit and adequate CEQA review. That is, I think, why they're telling us that there are other target dates that are available for them to fulfill, I guess, obligation or requirements with the other agencies involved.
So it has to go through the application process,
yes,
CUP, planning commission,
city
council. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like this done in less than probably 2 years, much less 2 months. I've been asking a lot of questions, and keep in mind, I'm not being critical. Your company looks sound. Your safety information was very impressive, and I would be the first to admit that I have limited knowledge of this kind of technology, and I have to rely on the experts. Final question, are you the former assemblyman, Mr. Nava?
Mm-hmm.
Guilty.
Yes.
I am. Yes.
Were you involved in the passage of AB 32?
Yes.
And you supported AB 32?
I did.
And is this project in keeping with the goals of that piece of legislation?
Well, I would say very much so. When you look at the mosaic of various projects that all play a part in the reduction of greenhouse gases, what I am encouraged by with the battery storage systems is that, well, quite frankly, if you take a look at the whole energy picture in California with the production of energy of solar, we actually have too much solar. We have so much solar during the peak times in the day that there are utilities that have been told, don't send that out into the grid. We don't have the capacity for it. One of the answers to how we not waste the solar energy that's generated is to be able to store it in battery-style facilities in different locations throughout the state of California, which is why the battery storage unit that's going to be opened up tomorrow in El Centro plays such an important role in the overall attempt to reduce the greenhouse gases.
So the one opening tomorrow is in El Centro?
That is correct.
Not Thousand Oaks or Santa Monica?
No.
Or Oak Park?
No, and that facility is what they call a balancing authority It is an independent utility. It's the third largest publicly owned utility in California. And what they have constructed there with Z Global is actually the largest battery storage facility owned by a public utility in the Western United States.
Okay, one final question, I promise I'll stop.
You gonna ask me about other votes?
There may not be anybody here that can answer this, but I think it's important for staff to take back, is would our fire department be able to respond to an emergency at this facility? Or is it beyond the technological competence and expertise and or equipment that we have?
I can begin, and I will allow either Dante or the applicants to follow up. We've had some staff-level discussions with the applicant known as Project Review to ask just those types of questions, and I believe some of the answers back are here. What are your needs in order to satisfy this and serve this? That some of those answers also come out in further review if an application is filed and the environmental review. The risk of upset, which is one of the items on the CEQA checklist, is really the question you have. And that's when the research really gets heavy on this. So a short answer is I can't say for yes. I mean, yes, 100%, but I can say that that is an issue looked at, and the CEQA document, examines that, what the needs are. And Rick, our fire chief, is heavily involved with reviewing the project to say what his needs would be in order to, if need be, fight a fire or a problem out there. It's not an impossibility to try and resolve, but it is something that is on everyone's checklist and radar with the uniqueness of this type of project.
And when we had our first meeting with staff, representatives from fire department were there, and there was a discussion about the NOVEC fire suppression system. The battery facility in El Centro is designed with the NOVEC fire suppression system. This facility within the containers would also have the NOVEC fire suppression system, and you have some familiarity with how it works.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
But you're right to raise that as a question.
Well, this particular site, I can see why you chose it, because of its location next to the substation in a light industrial area. I really don't see it personally that you're trying to locate just another thing in Santa Paula, which we contend with all the time. It looks like it could fit in there, as long as the solar panels and the numbers of them isn't a detractor or a negative to any other operations that go on in and around there with the industries that are there. If there's no noise involved in this, as generators would be, that would be a concern. But
come to the mic.
We use the couple.
Come here. Come to the mic.
Couple reasons why we put the solar panels like that is for the solar charges the batteries. That's their primary purpose, and then the secondary purpose is it provides shade. So our modules stay cool and use natural shading to do that. And we've done this on a couple other projects, and it's been very successful. That shade really makes all the difference in the world. Just to keep that direct sunlight off all that equipment, it just runs real good.
Yeah, and I think the newer solar panels are designed so that they are glare resistant. That was a real problem with the first and second generation solar panels. They were shiny. So you had to always have, three guys with squeegees keeping them clean. But as the industry became more sophisticated, they were able to develop the matte surface on the panel so you don't have the issue of glare. And so that makes it a little more attractive.
Do you know if the solar cities out in the Mojave, if they're going to, they use battery storage for what they're generating? Because they're huge. I mean, the desert is full of.
I can actually speak to that.
Oh, cool.
My name's Jamie Nagel. I'm with Global Western Grid. I'm actually the one who prepared some of the application materials. I'm actually the one who prepared some of those application materials that you have in front of you. When I was doing research on this project and when it was first brought into effect, what we're seeing a lot of currently within the industry is a number of projects that are being built strictly as generators, PV, wind, and what they're doing with those projects is adding battery storage as an accompaniment. That way they have the ability to charge those batteries during peak times when demand isn't as high and then release it back onto the grid when there are times of need, but it's not necessarily peak generating time. I also want to stress that, as Matthew was stating with regard to the batteries and the PV, one of the reasons that we specifically looked at PV is A, the shade, B, the charging of the batteries. But C, what that also does is it allows us to utilize natural resources to charge those batteries to keep it in a standby position in the event of the need for it. That way, the problem that we're trying to alleviate with energy shortages in times of high demand, we're not adding to.
I'll weigh in a couple things here, if I may. Addressing Commissioner Robinson's concerns on a couple of things there, I think the way I understood it anyway, reading it in a little research, that December 31st date, it was based by the governor. So we can just consider it a source right there. Number two, on page 126, it says construction is like 5 months. So this is just a preliminary stage. It's got to come back in front of us, got to go to City Council. So realistically, you're right, it's 6 months to 12 months out. And there's plenty of opportunity for the applicants to be in front of the city that day. Doing the drive by there, I mean, obviously we can pretty well see what it looks like now. And the enhancements that you guys are gonna do there, I think it's the perfect fit for that location, personally. Everything I've read up on it, the two concerns that Commissioner Robinson also stated, I have the same ones. And number one would be security. And number two is the fire prevention. Addressing the fire number one, the NOVAC system, what little I looked into it, looks to be state of the art. I'm familiar with situations like this and pesticide storage, because that's my business. And those have been very successful in as far as fire suppression. In fact, it's, in my opinion, overkill, but that's the way that things need to be done this day and age. So again, from what I've seen so far, the NOVAC system and the fire, that takes care of myself as long as our fire chief is on board with all those recommendations. As far as the security, I'm actually against doing the screening on the chain link fence.
Really?
I personally would like to see a security system with cameras, because if there is any crazy situation going on there, I'd like our police force to be able to see in. And I mean, I don't want it to be an eyesore by any means, but anything you do is gonna be a huge improvement on that facility. So it may be something to think about from a security standpoint, is the use of cameras tied in with the police force. And obviously, you know, the police chief's recommendation is gonna far outweigh mine, you know, but by screening that, that just gives a shield for somebody that wants to be mischievous.
Okay.
So those are the comments that I have.
Thank you. I think with regards to the visual aesthetics, we've done screening, landscaping, and a combination of the two on a number of PV projects that we've worked on. We are open to whatever is best for the area. If we need to incorporate more landscaping with trees that go to a specific height within X number of years, we can do that. We can screen certain portions of it. I know that Mr. Dobernick mentioned the non-conforming residential south. One of the items that we were also planning to do for this project in our discussions was to screen the area between our project and that non-conforming residential, because we want to be sensitive to the person that lives there and has to look out their yard every day and see a project sitting there.
That's a great statement.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Yeah, I had a couple questions in terms of the economics of the project. And I was curious in terms of what the arrangement is with Southern California Edison. Are they funding this directly or indirectly through a rebate, or do you have a power purchase agreement arrangement, or what is the nature of that? And then it's kind of a second part of the economics of it. Does this type of application, is it cost competitive with a more conventional peaker plant? Because really what you're building here is a peaker plant with a different design than your conventional peaker plant. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering what the cost per kilowatt hour, cost per megawatt hour comparison is with the more conventional, you know, natural gas powered kind of peaker plant. Because I actually built a 1 megawatt battery energy storage system. So I have some familiarity with how much this stuff costs, and it is quite phenomenally expensive. So I'm wondering how you're going to recover the investment in this plant.
Gotcha. So to answer the first question with regard to, okay.
She's an expert in this area.
I'm also a talker. But with regard to the economics of it, I believe we started funding it ourselves, and we are currently working with a finance company. But in essence, it is a project that we are building that we are financing. For the return on it, we have a PPA with Southern California Edison. I believe the ones in the future, I'm inclined to say that they're both standby capacity. So what SCE's arrangement with those is, at any point, should that power need to be called upon, we are able to release it and release it for 4 megawatt hours. And for that, there is X dollar amount that's associated to it. Now, as to the cost of the traditional peaker plants, I think I'll flip that over to you since you might be more familiar with it than I am.
Well, that's an excellent question. A 1 megawatt power plant, then you know the cost of batteries. These are lithium ion batteries. And they're the battery that's the battery right now. And it's a very tried and true battery, but they are expensive. So this PPA was developed, and it was won, and it became part of Z Global and Southern California Edison as a capacity. So in the event something happens, whatever that might be, these batteries can generate energy into the grid in the cache in the Wakefield substation. That's the substation right now, and keep this area going. And for that, it's a standby power plant with batteries whenever they need it. And their need is an emergency. So that's not something we live with every day. But if there is an event that causes an emergency, the grid goes down, that they can use this battery as a source into the grid. And they're willing, the PUC through California ISO and whatnot, Southern California Edison, is willing to pay that. It's a capacity payment every year for that. So we have to make sure that those batteries are ready to go at any moment for whatever might happen.
How does it compare to the cost of that?
And it's more expensive. So a peaker plant, obviously, they've done gas-fired turbines for so long, and they're getting that down. This is more expensive, but it's a 20-year PPA, and we're kind of the owner of our company is hedging his bets, so to speak, that we keep these batteries going, and we just watch it, and it's a steady cash flow. It's not going to make anybody rich, but it's a good solid investment. Go ahead.
Well, since we mentioned AB 32, because there's always the discussion about price per kilowatt hour, and then it really depends on the integrated costs, and then it really depends on do you take into consideration some of the other environmental issues that come about from a traditional peaker plant. So I don't know that as it relates to public health and issues for the public, I think people are looking at gas peaker plants as being more problematic. Even though the cost per kilowatt hour may be less, but not necessarily if you add in all the other related kinds of expenses associated with it, which is why a battery plant like this is non-emissive, it's clean, it doesn't pollute.
Good answer. I have one point of question. Go ahead.
Open forum. I would stop, but... since this advisory, when your company comes in and builds something, do you use local labor with the unions, electricians, laborers, et cetera, or do you have laborers or electricians from other parts of the state that you bring in?
Now, when I was asked to help with this project, one of the things that I insisted on was that we take a look, for example, for local engineering firms. And then with respect to the labor agreements, it is the desire of the developer to use local folks to go to work.
That's important.
It absolutely is.
Chairman, may I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. For purposes of identification, I know I've asked each of you to fill out a speaker card, which you have. But if you could just do me a favor for all of the commissioners, because there's been four of you speaking, your association with the project, if you're part of the company or a spokesman in what capacity, just to set everything straight so when we do the minutes, we've got it. So why don't we start with you?
Sure. So my name is Jamie Nagel. I work with Z Global and Western Grid Development, and I'm basically the planning staff for the company.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Want to make the round?
Yes, please. Help us.
My name is Matthew Nelson, and I'm the Senior Director of Engineering and Construction for Z Global.
Okay. Excellent. And Mr. Nava?
Yes. And I'm Pedro Nava. I'm the former Assembly Representative, and I am a consultant with Z Global. I met them through my work with the Imperial Irrigation District, because Z Global performs services for IID, and we're also the engineering firm that designed and built the facility in El Centro.
Hi, I'm Chris Stabenfeld. I'm with Ecor Consulting. I've been working with Z Global, helping them with entitlements, support, biocultural surveys, et cetera, for a variety of energy projects around the state for about 4 years.
Thank you. I just wanted a clarification for all of us here, so who the various players are and the knowledge that they're bringing to the table and responding to your questions. So thank you, all four of you.
Actually, I'd like to follow up on Commissioner Robinson's other comment. On page 127, you said the workforce is expected to be about 50 workers for the construction. Then the following page, you have project construction activities. Just curious, when everything's done, how many employees do you expect the plant to project?
Okay, so it's a plant that will not be populated by a workman or technician. So once it's built, once it's commissioned and tested and online, it's a standalone plant. We have a SCADA system that we remotely watch our plant, and we can control our plant remotely. And also California ISO will have that, and Southern California Edison will have that same abilities, if you will. So, but there, it'll be an unmanned site, but it has security cameras, which is in live time, and we'll watch our plant the whole time. But
okay.
We do have an op. Did you see in the corner of the property?
You mentioned there might be an office there. You might
The owner has decided to open up an office in Southern California here, and it's going to be in Santa Paula. We're going to actually use that small office, and that's going to be for white collar people, not technicians, because the plant operates on its own. Once a year, we come in and we adjust, we look at things, but basically, it's an unmanned plant.
Okay, and how many people might that employ for the office?
It'd be probably two engineers and a technician.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to add to that. One of the items that I have discussed with the CEO of our company, or rather the person who's really heading up these development efforts, one of the things that I personally feel very strongly about is ensuring that whatever we build can benefit the local community, not just with energy stability, but also with, even if it's in some small fashion, helping to grow the experience and the skills of some of the people that live around it and see that project every day. So one of the items that I've talked about with him specifically is doing a search, finding people that are local to the area who are interested in learning about this and apprenticing them, teaching them how to maintenance it. At the very bare minimum, we'll need to be out there twice a year to wash those modules, go out and do inspections, make sure that if there's filters or periodic maintenance that needs to occur for the plant, that we take care of it. My preference would be to use someone local. In addition, we would register the project address, the 132 North 13th Street, and create a business license there so that any revenue generated from that project through any of the agreements we have for vendors, labor, all the tax revenue would go to the city.
And you also mentioned landscaping, so you're gonna have some kind of type of landscape service there, maintain that as well. So
I did not think about that. That is an excellent point, as well as someone to design it. My preference is always to use people who know the local plants, because I kill everything that I touch that's a plant. So. We clearly need help in that arena.
We can help. That's all I have.
No more. Commissioner Robinson? Commissioner Damaris?
Not for now.
I know you're done. You want to know the score, right? Just my comments are, I think it's a reasonable fit for Santa Paula. That may be go contrary to many folks that are all concerned about things getting dumped in little Santa Paula, but to me, this is a pretty benign. It's the green energy element here, which is not typical for here. There's a lot of agriculture and a lot of oil that is around here. I mean, the oil museum is right over here. Oil kind of started in California right here with many of the heritage folks of this town. So, and those, they have families that are still here. But I think this is a good idea. This is a good transitional thing. And I'll be interested to see what you're able to put together and through the process at some point. Other than that, I got no more advice. I see the mayor sitting in the back of the room there gathering information. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
So that would actually formally conclude this particular type of concept review with the Planning Commission. I hope it provided you with some things to think about before you go forward, if you decide to go forward with the formal submittal. And there's a couple issues that we probably we need to discuss. You heard landscaping. There's some ordinance requirements and or safety issues to deal with. So there's no motion that needs to be taken because there's no formal action being taken. But I'll just take a moment to thank you all for coming and presenting this to us this evening.
This time I'll close the public hearing. Move on to new business. Any new business?
I'll skip the new business.
No new business?
I'll just kind of reiterate some of the communications if you want any updates, and I'll just put them together.
Oh, that's next, yeah. After. Okay, city communications. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just reminding each of you of the holiday schedule because we're entering November, December, and as we usually do, we kind of miss one meeting and wish another one together. So as your notes in here say, that due to holidays, we're going to be having one more meeting December 13th for Planning Commission, and then we'll see you all the following year.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, you probably have questions about our vacant Planning Commission vacancy spot. The council did conduct interviews, but there is only four of them and not the fifth council member, and we wanted to give Council Member Tobias an opportunity to interview the potential Planning Commission candidates. So I don't have any additional updates right now as to a decision date on that. So until then, it's the four of you gentlemen.
Gee, he wasn't there to interview me back in whenever.
Sorry. The dilemma was the four that were present, they had a 2-2 split vote on two different candidates.
I see.
We had no majority, so there was an inability to move forward with a decision.
Okay. Good.
Sorry.
Yeah,
stay tuned.
Just curious on that subject matter, what's the time frame of going back in front of City Council then?
My understanding is I know they're having a special meeting Thursday, but I did not see it on the agenda, so it will be the next council meeting November 21st. Because that's their next meeting. They're not having one before the November election.
Okay.
And Tobias will not be on the council after
the election, but they don't take their oaths till December. So he's still officially on council till the switch occurs. So he'll work itself out.
Is it a possibility to make a recommendation if everybody else feels that way to council? They should wait until they have a new council?
Well.
You'd be waiting till further, December, January.
That's only one meeting. I'd rather see the new council make a decision than outgoing, personally.
It doesn't really matter to me. It's not going to be our decision, so we don't get to vote.
I realize that. One of us might.
Well, that's true. Everything may change, huh? Anything else?
That's it for me.
Any requests for future agenda items, commissioners? Hearing none? We're adjourned. I'll sign. Hey, what? She, Yeah, I figured you would. We'll give you it all. All of them. You can have the rubber band back. There's all of these for Tom. Oh, I know. Well, no, you're right, and that's what they needed to hear. You're right. But it's actually a good idea.
New technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a good turkey. We'll see you in December.
Yeah, we'll see you in December. Yeah. Don't eat too much. Make sure you go to the pumpkin patch last weekend.
Exactly.
Coming up. Yeah, I can see where that was problematic for folks here. The extension.
I'm sorry.
Well, there's nothing you can do. It's their legitimate legal. We would have no grounds. They should make up their mind to move forward. Or I was almost going to make the comment Look, this is additional city time. This is staff time. This costs this money.
Yeah.
So, are you going to act?
Get it together.
Yeah, because I can guarantee you they come back for another extension. Can I say that? Probably won't be favorable.
Yeah.
No, it is my favorite.
Yeah, this has been one of those honestly.
It's been what, 11 years? That's a long time.
Yeah, it's called getting an investment group together. Up and down.
And I understand the folks that are out there. I know the area. I see Chris Wilson sitting in the audience here. He just lives down the road in Cliff Drive.
It was really
hard to get in the I didn't ask. That's what I was going to ask before.
That's not part of your extension.
No, I know. But that's kind of the background data that it's helpful for us.
We put a little in the report. We didn't want to take you guys off to a different.
No, I didn't want to go there.
You want to hear a joke on that one?
It was.
They forgot to stamp it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
So we just took it back. Tom gave it to you.
I can tell you something else about this. You know, is money taken out of here for retirement?
No, because you're considered a city employee.
Yeah.
Party, har, har.
Oh, no, let me tell you. That it's taken out for retirement, right?
Yeah.
But then the retirement organization, whoever you do your retirement, they consume all of that money that's taken out to manage it.
Oh, so you know, it's a loss.
I've seen the statement. What it looks like. We're talking. That went for management fees.
Sorry, I think I've got over it.
So,
that's right out of people.
I almost just turn around and say, look, instead of doing that, why don't we use it for stamps? Use it on
I love it.
Oh, well.
So
Okay, I got it. Are you memorized? I didn't see her when she came out, but it was, I was like, I recognize, I shoot a snapshot. I didn't hear her get lost.
Well, it sounds like a popular thing.
Yeah, we got it.
Kudos to you.
Mr. Wilson.
How's it going, Ike?
It's fine. Great to hear your presence.
Well, that's first, you're gonna follow.
Well, Sparkle property.
I know, I can hear you.
Well, it used to be our ranch.
Oh, definitely.
So that was my grandfather's property.
See, I kind of thought so, but I wasn't, what was there, I couldn't really.
Well, and I didn't see a map up on there tonight, but one of their roads dumps right into my property.
Yeah.
And
Is that gonna be an emergency?
Irrigation pipeline runs right through there, so it would have to get moved as part of this.
Were you back in when this was originally approved?
Yeah.
In here with protesters and so forth, are we part of the group that was saying, hey, I don't know?
No, I think the thing they did back then, that was good, because they got it down to 19 sort of half acre lots. It was gonna be 39 houses.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, twice as much traffic. Cliff Drive, where my dad and his brother and sister subdivided it, is, I think they sold there maybe like 19 lots. They just sold the lots, and so they are custom homes.
Yeah.
And that was one thing was, okay, you developers, just sell the lots and let people build whatever the heck they want. And then you don't have to pretend that they're custom homes, and we got 7 different ones.
What is the Halleck Commercial Center? What is that intended to be? Is that going to be shops or?
You know, they back off on the shop part.
Which was here?
I thought it was on here. This is.
They're talking about something for a vendor college.
I don't know.
But I think that.
Tom, you recall what the Halleck Center now plan?
You know, it keeps evolving, so.
No, it wasn't, because.
Never the same.
Well, we saw the original, all the shops and stuff, and then they came back and said, back off of that.
I'm confused as to where we are.
Here's Main Street.
This is.
Here's Main.
That's the 126.
This is 126?
That's the rail.
So is the gas station here right now, is that?
No, it's down here, that's what I sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right, so there's 126. I think you're right.
Thank you for bringing that up.
They kept talking about it.
Do you need anything else brought over or heavy lifting?
No, I'm good.
You're good?
Just mop it up.
Yeah. All right.
Are we saving that or what do you want
to? I need your
put it next door.
Can you just put it here? Yeah, at least on the table. I can't reach it.